Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 2, 25 to 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord.
Happy New Year once again, City Line. It's good to be back here with you after we were away for a little while visiting my family back in Kansas. It's also good to be back here after we canceled our service last Sunday because of bad weather. As we start out the new year, we're in this little mini-series. We're closing out the Christmas sermon series that we're calling Darkness, Then Light. So, last Sunday was supposed to be darkness, and now this Sunday is light. Christmas season is two Sundays right after December 25th. And so this morning, we are going to look at light. Would you pray with me as we come to God's word this morning and ask him to help us receive what he would have for us? Sovereign Lord, you are light and goodness and joy and hope and mercy. As we spend the next few minutes reflecting together on this scene of the baby Jesus in the temple and the old man named Simeon, would you, by your Spirit, illuminate what you'd have for us to receive this morning? May we be brought closer to you, no matter how far we are from you, wherever we're coming from this morning. Would you guide us in these next few minutes? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in my teenage years, my youth group years, growing up in rural Kansas, one of the things that we did almost every year was we went on a backpacking trip in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. Backpacking, maybe some people are like, what's backpacking? Backpacking is where you take camping and hiking and you bring them together. And so you carry your tent and your sleeping bag and your food and you go off into the mountains. So we did this a lot. Our fearless leader, our youth leader, was a machinist and a custom car exhaust fabricator named Jason Paulette. He's a character. I wish you could all know Jason. I got to see him this past week, and it was great. The last trip that I took with this group was in the summer after my freshman year in college. So just put in your mind a group of relatively experienced, relatively fit young men doing something that they've done many times before. On the first night on the trail, we arrived to where we were going to camp for the night a little bit later than we had planned to. It was that fleeting moment that's right before dusk. So if dusk is like right before night, this was the moment right before dusk. Jason and I volunteered to go and fill up water bottles while the rest of the crew continued to set up the campsite and prepare dinner. The light was low, but the walk was light. It was filled with joy. We were back in the mountains again. We were doing what we had done so many times before. We were pumping water with that little tiny pump that takes you forever to fill each water bottle. But I had held that at the end of that hose so many times for Jason while he pumped it away. It was going great until we filled our last water bottle. We gathered everything up in our arms and we turned around and it was dark. It was dark and we were in a forest we'd never been in, on a mountain we'd never been on, and we hadn't paid close attention to how we had gotten where we were. and we didn't have flashlights. We looked at each other, and we both, you know, obviously, we held it back. That growing, rising fear and panic, were we going to make it home? Were we going to make it back? There is nothing quite like being lost in the darkness that makes you think about light, is there? In fact, a classic definition of darkness is simply the absence of light. And so in this way, the very existence of light is actually what gives meaning to darkness, which I think is kind of interesting if you think about it, isn't it? Whatever darkness you might be feeling or experiencing in your own life is something that you can only really understand because you have experienced some light in your life, and you're comparing the darkness to the light. In this way, light is fundamental. It's a reality-defining phenomenon. And for the Christian, it's also fundamental to our faith. Light is linked to God. God is the ultimate source of all light. In the beginning, God created the light, but then 4 days later, it was when he created the sun, the moon, the stars. The whole biblical story is constructed with this premise of light is good and dark is bad. We see this in the prophecies of Christ, which you've already have read this morning in our call to worship in Isaiah chapter 9:2. Isaiah describes the coming of the Christ like this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. We're all familiar, I think, in many ways with John's opening to his gospel with the description of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, in this way. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And of course, it's Jesus himself, a few chapters later in John chapter 8, where he says about himself that he is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light is one of the largest and most important metaphors that we have in the Christian faith. So let's look at our passage this morning in Luke chapter 2. I love this scene. It's not maybe as well known. It's very short, but I love this passage of Scripture. Here we meet an old man named Simeon. Simeon is pretty unique in the New Testament as one of the first who's able to see this little baby Jesus that he holds in his arms as being light and as being the one bringing light into the world. And these first few verses of our passage this morning illustrate, really bring out the first point that I want to make about light. And that is that light comforts. Light comforts. In these verses, Simeon is really the picture of comfort. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He was led to go to the temple that day. And just like a grandparent holding a grandchild for the very first time, he picks up the six-week-old baby Jesus, and he's filled with joy and peace. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever seen it? When a grandparent picks up their grandchild for the very first time, a wave of joy and comfort washes over them. So many hopes and fears are resolved in that moment. And this is what happens for Simeon when he picks up the baby Jesus. He's filled with the comfort and joy of seeing this long-awaited Messiah. He's one of the very first to experience what Isaiah said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." Getting back to Jason and I, lost on the side of a mountain in a forest we've never been in, we were a people walking in darkness, but we couldn't see any light. As we started to make our way back in the direction that we thought we needed to go, our eyes were open wide, trying to get any light that we could find, any light from the moon or the stars, just a small hint of campfire. We were straining for the light. We were yearning for the light. Simeon had yearned for his whole life for the light that Isaiah had promised. He wanted to see the consolation of Israel and the comfort of the Messiah's coming before he died. And what's amazing is he was able to do just that. He picks up baby Jesus, peace washes over him, and he says, "Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." This is the kind of comfort that Jesus offers, that light offers. And it's the same kind of comfort that we can experience with Jesus. Some of us are lost, not in a little literal darkness like Jason and I were on the side of a mountain, but in a different kind of darkness, one caused by sin in the world. Some of us, we have people who have abused us and betrayed us. Some of the very people supposed to protect us were the ones that harmed us the worst. There's also the darkness of sickness and death, the long suffering and struggle of a bad diagnosis, or the sharp and sudden loss of a loved one vanishing into the dark. And there's also this darkness that we can see deep within us, our own sin. There's parts of us that are full of malice and envy and lust and greed. The same sort of comfort that Simeon gets is the same sort of comfort that's offered to us when we come to Jesus by faith. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome him. When we put our faith in Christ, we are given a new life. And like Simeon, we receive the Holy Spirit to help and guide and comfort us in this dark and painful world. And so that's my first point. Light is comfort. Come to Jesus and receive by faith the comfort that he offers. For all the comfort and warmth that light is, it doesn't take very long to continue to reflect about light to realize that it's not just that, is it? It's not all just warm fuzzies and comfort. Just think about it. Ever gotten a sunburn? Light fades colors, it strips paint, it causes cancer. When I go to bed, I don't want light. When Misha stays up reading forever, I have to put on a little eye mask. Light interferes with my sleeping peace. So light can be very comforting, but can also be very uncomforting and even dangerous. Simeon gets a little bit at the danger that Jesus is going to bring in what he says in verses 34 and 35. Jesus is going to cause the rising and falling of many. He'll be a divisive figure. Many are going to speak against him. He's going to reveal the thoughts of many hearts. And even Mary's soul will be pierced. She does, after all, watch her son die on a cross. And so this is my second point. Light convicts. What Simeon is saying here is that Jesus isn't just coming as a child, meek and mild. Jesus will reveal the darkest corners of our hearts, exposing our sin, calling us to repentance. This is the divisiveness of Jesus. Just ask anyone who's married how it goes when they point out something wrong about their spouse, and you get a little bit of a picture of how divisive Jesus is going to be. Now, if you've already put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, then you've already had this experience of Jesus, the light who convicts, like walking out of a dark movie theater into the full midday sun. Jesus has already cut sharply into your heart to reveal your sin and your brokenness. And this is what brought you to your knees in repentance. This is the good news of the gospel, that after we experience the conviction of the light, we receive the comfort of the light. We receive the gifts of faith and experience Christ's forgiveness and the new life that he offers us. But there's another dynamic that happens in the Christian life slowly over time. And it comes after we have that initial encounter with the light. For Jason and I, the very fundamental problem that we had there lost in the dark on the side of a mountain was that we just didn't know how far we had gone to go get water. It was much further than we thought at first. When we were at the campsite, we heard the stream. We're like, oh, great, oh, the water's just right over there. So we didn't properly prepare for the coming darkness. And that is why, though it happens slowly, one step at a time, as we walk towards the stream, we realized it all of a sudden. We were lost in the dark. And this happens to us sometimes, doesn't it? We don't often run headlong into the darkness. Instead, we end up getting into the darkness through a long series of small decisions. We start to walk just a little bit in the wrong direction, away from Jesus. And it's only after some time later that we sort of wake up and realize that we can no longer feel the comfort of the light. We're lost in the darkness. We finally turn our eyes back toward Jesus, and we feel the sharp conviction of the sin that led us away from him in the first place. The unexciting end of my story about Jason and I is that we made our way back to the camp. I'm here, like, shocker. Our story ends well. That's the unexciting end of that story. The exciting good news about Jesus, the light who convicts, is that your story can end well too. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the dark. Doesn't matter if you went there quicker than a hiccup or slower than molasses in January. Jesus is calling for you to return to him. He has open arms waiting to receive you. And this is how Jesus, the light who comforts and who convicts, comes together. The good news of the gospel starts with bad news. This is how the late Tim Keller had to say how he described this. You are more sinful than you could ever dare imagine, and you are more loved and accepted than you could ever dare hope at the same time. The gospel starts with the bad news that we are sinners. Sin separates us from God. We can't fix this ourselves, which is why we experience so much darkness in life. But the gospel continues with the good news that Christ died to pay for our sins. He rose to defeat sin and death itself. He offers forgiveness for all who come to him by faith. So where do you find yourself this morning? Are you feeling lost in the darkness, looking for the light? Longing for the coming of a new day? Come, receive the light of comfort. Or are you feeling exposed in the brilliant light of a holy God? Is there something in your life that you know you need to repent of? Something that you've tried to keep hidden deep in the shadows of your heart? Respond to the light of conviction with repentance and begin walking in the light of his comfort. Where are you this morning? This all brings me to my final point. The light is for the whole world. In the middle of our passage this morning, in verses 29 to 32, we have this praise song that Simeon sings. And look at what he says starting in verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. For all of history up until that point, God had worked almost entirely through a single people group, the people of Israel. But not any longer. Jesus, the light of the world, was coming into the world for the whole world. Up until that time, the Gentiles were like Jason and I, lost on a dark mountain without a guide. Not even a flashlight, let alone the revelation of God through Moses of the law and the prophets. But now that long-awaited light was here in Simeon's arms, a light for the whole world. This is really good news if you're like me and a Gentile, and I think almost all of us are in this room. It's also a reminder that we are sent out of this room to share the light with those around us. The world is dark and hurting, and we have the opportunity and the calling to join God in bringing comfort and conviction to the world. We are sent out as little lights reflecting Jesus into the world. I want to point out here that there are a few common errors that we can make as we share this light with the world. The first error is to only bring conviction in our sharing. This is to be focused only on other people's sin, trying to point it out and tell them what horrible sinners they are. In its worst form, I think today, these folks are often found online. They see themselves as warriors for Jesus, as some of the only true believers who are defending God. And they've gotten one part right. Light convicts. But too often, it lacks the compassion and grace that Jesus offers to all who would come to him. They seem to forget that the light also comforts. And so when we share the good news of a loving God, when we talk about the light of the world that has come into the world for the whole world, we shouldn't do so with words of hate and condemnation. Our means should align with our ends. The means of cruelty, mistreatment, or misrepresentation can never justify the ends of sharing about the convicting light of Jesus. That's the first error. The second error is an error in the opposite direction. You might be able to guess this one. They only bring comfort. They focus only on the comfort that Jesus offers. They are emphasizing the radical acceptance and love of God found in Christ. In its worst form, these folks don't seem to see anything wrong with anything that anybody does. They see themselves as warriors for freedom and acceptance, and as some of the only few true believers proclaiming the liberating freedom found in Christ. And they've gotten one part right. Light comforts. But too often, this error embraces all people with love and joy, but fails to bring clear conviction about the reality of sin and the call to holiness for the Christian life. They seem to forget that the good news of the gospel always comes with the bad news, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We must not neglect the bad news in our sharing about the good news, because the bad news is what makes the good news to begin with. That's the second error. The final error maybe hits us a little bit closer to home. It hits me closer to home. And that is to not share about the light in any way to begin with. These are the folks who never took seriously the little kids' song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Yeah, I'll do that. These folks love hiding their light under a bushel. What even is a bushel? Why is it called a bushel? Bushel extinguishes the light, if you don't know what a bushel is, I guess. I've never called it a bushel. They usually do so under this guise of good manners and respectable conversation. It'd be awkward, it'd be uncomfortable, it'd be weird. They've gotten none of the parts right. Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world to bring conviction and comfort to all people. And he's invited us to join him. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He says that we too are the light of the world. Our invitation and our calling is to shine the light wherever we go, through our actions and through our words. In talking about these errors, I think what this highlights more than anything is that we are often bad reflections of the light of Jesus, aren't we? But the good news of the gospel, my friends, that I want you to hear this morning is that we don't have to be perfect reflections of the light of Jesus. In fact, that's actually what the gospel is all about. It starts with the bad news is that we can't be the perfect reflections of the light of Jesus. But it's good news. It continues that it's Jesus who is the perfect light of the world. Though he was tempted to walk in darkness of sin, he didn't. He lived a sinless life. Though he suffered the worst of all the darkness the world could throw at him, he wasn't overcome by it. He overcame it. Jesus was the perfect light of the world, not by destroying us through his blinding perfection of his holiness, but by taking his conviction upon himself. All the conviction that we deserved was laid on Jesus on the cross. The death that we deserved, Jesus didn't just experience it, but he defeated it when he rose through the grave. The invitation for us this morning is not to become perfect lights of conviction and comfort in the world, but to receive by faith the one and only true perfect light of conviction and comfort in the world, Jesus himself. And in that, we are convicted of our sins, we are comforted by the assurance of our salvation, and we are sent out as a light into the world for the whole world. May it be so, my brothers and sisters. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come into a new year, we probably have lots of ideas and thoughts and plans, maybe some fears and worries about what this year holds. We are grateful that we don't have to be the perfect ones. We know we're not perfect reflections of your light. We know that you have brought your light into the world to redeem us. You bring your conviction, but you place it on yourself, and you offer your comfort to us. So I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning that they would receive what it is they need to receive this morning. And I pray that you would help us to say yes to your invitation to be bearers of the light. Not in a perfect way, because we won't be perfect, but in a way that's authentic and real. Would you guide us into that, Lord? We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.